Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Are you glorified fry cook?
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
There we go. It's funny how you just turn us off.
I got no tenor voice. Right? Have no tenor voice? Nope. Tried to sing a little Home Free on the way here.
Ah, okay.
Still
how'd that work out? Wish I had a recording.
Over the cold from 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
But I still have a little like that every now and then.
I do too.
And that actually started my freshman year of college. I had pneumonia.
Oh, Lord.
And it took me 2 weeks to get over pneumonia, and ever since then, any time I get a cold, I got a little hack of a cough that lasts for about 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I got a little sinus problems going on right now myself as well. Yeah.
A great deal of people do. Part of it is you have two cats, and they are shedding their summer coat.
They don't never buy. I've had cats all my life. They don't know about
it. Yeah, but now you're in a tight little apartment with two of them.
Yeah, they don't eat much.
Yeah, both Escher and our black mouth cur, Molly, are losing their summer coat, so I've been... Both of us have been a little sniffy.
It's an allergen, yes.
Yeah. Something like 48% of humans are allergic to cat dander. It is much more offensive to the sinuses than dog or, say, ferret.
Yeah.
But
a lot of people have problems with it.
Yeah. Short hairs, apparently, I don't have as much trouble.
Even
the long
cat
hairs
litter.
Can't be in the same house with a
even
cat.
Even cat litter because of the dust it creates a lot of times.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of heinous things that go into cat litter. They don't start out there, but they end up there.
I tell you what, buying cat food and buying cat litter, I should have gone into the cat litter business because it costs a lot more going out than it does going in.
Well, I had a burn barrel set up in the yard so that I could take care of.
What, burn your cats? You throw your cats?
No.
You're horrible.
Way, way too sinewy. You'd have to boil them. my father.
For how long?
Was from the, till it's done, from the Great Depression era. So he didn't like to throw things away.
Yeah.
And, you know, after retiring from the sheriff's department, he and my mother had an antique company where they would buy antiques and ship them all over the country or receive them. Every single box he ever got, priority mail, was stacked in our utility room of 20 years of having an antique company.
Yeah.
And I slowly would burn them.
And they didn't throw anything away.
Yeah. And you know, I would point out to him, you know, you can go to the post office and they'll give you as many of these as you want for free, brand new.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to go to the post office.
Well, there you go.
You go to the post office every day to check the mail. Yeah, but I've got these right here. Okay. Well, I was slowly burning them. You know, one barrel a day, about 15 minutes of cooking them. And then, you know, took me a couple of weeks to get through all that. Well, Heather decided, hey, I'll put the cat litter in there. And I'm not sure, but isn't that what they used to blow up the Murrah Federal Building? Was cat litter and some fertilizer and
well,
stuff.
It's
so I don't know if I should.
Components of that, yeah.
I don't know if I should. Of course, it's been rained on 15 million times and been through two hurricanes. It's probably lost any explosive qualities it had. And I just don't know. So if there's a fireman out there or an explosives expert, can I set my cat litter
upstairs.
On fire?
Upstairs. Yeah.
They don't work on Sundays.
Not unless there's a disaster somewhere. But.
So I'm glad they're not working on Sunday.
Yes. Hey, you know, you're talking about the old days and burning things.
Hey, we should tell people that they're listening to Sip and Chew of Mike.
Oh, my God, yeah. You just did.
Okay, cool. Okay, old days, they burn things.
They would burn things. And so I bought this house off Cottage Hill Road, and it's 2 acres. And
that's a big house.
Well, it's a two-acre lot.
Oh,
and,
okay.
It was a small house at the time, then it grew. Yeah. But everywhere I was trying to plant plants and flowers— I hit trash pile because back in the olden days, they would burn their trash. And I dug up all kind of cobalt bottles and medicine bottles, an old Purex, glass Purex bottle. It's all embossed in the glass, you know. Mm-hmm. It says Purex. And it reminded me, my aunts and uncles up in Mississippi, they didn't have trash pickup. They'd burn all their stuff.
Yeah.
And my grandmother, too.
Yeah. It's not the best thing in the world to do for...
That's what you did back then.
Right. Not the best thing in the world.
They didn't... The only footprint...
They did a whole lot of not the best thing in the world.
The only footprint they worried about was, you know... Because they got up early in the morning...
Sasquatch.
Leaving their footprint in dew.
Yeah.
On the ground dew.
Yeah. One dew or two.
Well, they both do.
Yeah. Well, let's just go ahead and get the red elephant in the room out of the way. Congratulations on your team's victory yesterday. I don't think anyone was surprised by the outcome. I've said it all year. I said it after Auburn beat Alabama last year. Next year's team's going to be the best Nick Saban's had.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that this COVID garbage came up because I also fully believe that had we had a normal spring and a normal season, that would have been two undefeated teams squaring off in a 7-point game yesterday.
Yeah.
Auburn lost 20 practices during the summer with COVID outbreaks. They had another one a couple of weeks ago. You can tell the lack of practice.
Yeah.
Not just with them either. Lots of teams.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Saban has that process. And, you know, we make fun of the process from time to time. Alabama fans don't. They love the process, and I see why.
Yeah.
Nick didn't have to be there yesterday. It was the exact same score it would have been had Nick Saban been there.
Yeah,
nothing was different.
I'm not a person like to gloat and brag and stuff
the
like
hell
that.
You're not.
But we beat Auburn with our coach tied behind our back.
Yeah, you did.
I don't gloat or brag. You know.
Yeah, we had a number of key injuries that the players played, but they. Clearly went to say, but it wouldn't have made any difference.
Well, I worked.
Except that the best running back on the field was not in Alabama's uniform.
I had to work at the wine bar
yeah.
during the game. And that's okay because we had all the TVs on there. But guess what?
You hootie tootie wine people
all
watch
the
football.
All the women in Daphne that don't like football decided to go to the wine bar.
Right.
So I was running around, was running around crazy taking care of women who wanted to drink wine while their husbands were off watching football. So I caught very little of the game.
Yeah, I caught zero of it. As I told you before we went on air that Heather has some kind of stomach virus right now. She's not feeling her best. So I'm just like, I know how this is going to end up. You know,
you already know the outcome.
Right. And honestly, you know, people will try and trumpet Ohio State and Clemson and Notre Dame and Florida. You can beat all of them by 25 to 30 points.
We're going
because you're the only one that's playing like you would be playing were there no COVID.
We're gonna be playing them. We'll be playing them anyway.
and we're
gonna have to play them anyway.
Yeah, and quite honestly, Ohio State, you're in the worst conference in college football right now. Oh my gosh, I am enjoying this Michigan season
so much.
Mm-mm, they've got Clemson. They've got a team that actually has a chance to score 25, 30 points. Ohio State didn't stand a chance against Alabama, Clemson, and Notre Dame simply because their conference is so bad this year.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Worse than the West?
Well, nothing's worse than the Big 12. But,
yeah.
But honestly, the playoffs should start now. It should be Alabama, Florida, although Georgia, now that they've got a quarterback, you know, too bad you got two losses, Georgia, because – you'd be a lock for the playoffs if you didn't.
We'd be that.
Yeah. But,
we'll be that.
There you go, folks. There's our football talk. And I'm sure Mike will not mention this year's Iron Bowl again next 365 days. It will not come up.
We got LSU coming up.
Yeah, okay.
Arkansas.
What, yeah, okay.
This is what's weird. Two more games after the Iron Bowl.
Yeah.
Usually it's – you
none,
know,
yeah.
We wait all year for football season.
Mm-hmm.
And – we suffer through all kind of other horrible sports that we have to endure.
Boring, worthless sports.
And then we get to football season.
Mm-hmm.
And then before you know it, it's Iron Bowl, and it's over. Fall's over. We're deep into Christmas.
I do want to say Vanderbilt University made history in a good way yesterday.
In a good way, a great way.
And first female kicker or football player, let's just call her football player.
In a major conference.
In a major conference. There have been three others in the past. They were place kickers. Because, mm-hmm. you know, there's nothing we can do to sidetrack physiology.
Yeah.
There's not a female who has the physical makeup on the planet right now to go up against SEC players or pro football players.
I don't know.
And 90% of the men on this planet can't do it either. It's not a slight on females.
Mm-hmm.
You and I could not step onto a football field when we were 22 mm-hmm. and hang with these hosses.
Well, I went out with this girl one time.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right, folks, that's the first segment down, 343-0106. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking with Chase Matthews from Playhouse Spices.
All right.
Whiskey therapy sessions. Buying drinks to buy some time beneath the stained glass neon lights while the bartender listens. As long as you're tipping.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Pure delight.
When the kids are drunk, start singing all night. Drinking
Michael.
Wine,
yes. It's time we jettison some of these songs from our rotation and get some new blood.
We need some new songs.
Yeah, I'm going to get with Leanna. By the way, Leanna's here. Phil's back there screening calls. I'm going to get with Leanna. We're going to clean out a bunch of this stuff and get some new stuff going. We had like 100-something songs in the folder, and this thing only randomizes the same 8 or 10 every time.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like it to do is play it one time. I don't know if you can do this, Leanna. I'd like it to play the song one time, not play it again for about a month and a half. Because we had enough in there that we wouldn't have to repeat songs.
Now, we haven't seen each other in 2 weeks.
No.
So last week, did y'all play the Thanksgiving song by Adam Sandler?
No, we did not.
God darn it.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that was Charlie's tradition for Thanksgiving.
We loved it.
I've got a new one to replace it with for New Year's, though.
What?
The band we heard going out, Home Free, they do Auld Lang Syne, and it is incredible. So that's how I'd like to end the last show of 2020 this year.
I'm going to see. Has Alice Cooper got any, Alice Cooper got any
food songs?
That is
one intelligent man. You know that?
Well, he is.
He is brilliant.
Well, you know who's almost more intelligent than him?
Bowser from Sha-na-na.
Well, the guy who played Rocky's nemesis and the Russian guy.
Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, he has
several advanced degrees.
Master degrees.
He's more of a science guy than Bill Nye will ever be. Who is not, by the way, a science guy.
But
his degree is in mathematics from a school that's not known for mathematics. It's from a school that's known for liberal arts.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very good.
Which there's a lot of those.
And they have one of the best hotel restaurant management programs in the country at Cornell.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they don't produce a whole lot of math geniuses.
Mm-hmm.
And one actor who calls himself a science guy.
Yeah.
But Dolph Lundgren, yes, several advanced degrees in a lot of different disciplines.
He's gone to MIT.
And all over the world, he's been to major universities in Switzerland and Russia.
But he said he wanted to be an actor. He didn't want to be a scientist or whatever. What are you hacking
up over
there?
He went with his the bits and pieces of our leftover team from yesterday's game. It looks bad on paper, but we held y'all's offense to 7 points below your average.
There's something to brag about.
We scored 10 more points than Kentucky.
All right, let's talk about food.
Yeah.
Let's talk about food.
I got a short Where'd You Eat.
Okay.
This week, we went and visited our pal, Frankie Little, at Roosters. Guess who was waiting at the door when I walked in?
Who?
Frankie Little.
Oh.
Guess who took our drink order?
Frankie Little?
Frankie Little. Guess who brought our food?
Frankie Little?
Frankie Little. I think.
That's like the old days at the Pillars.
Yeah, it was the day before Thanksgiving. I got off early from work. Heather got off early from work. She went down to Bienville Square to do a little Pokemoning. I don't know what all that
is. I still see people doing that. Really, folks? This is 3 years later, and people still doing Pokemon.
If something's fun, it stays fun.
I guess.
Yeah. You still watch football, don't you? So do I. Because it's still fun.
So tell me about Frankie Little.
Well,
did he cook?
He owns a place called Roosters. I don't know if you've been there. It's a taquiera right on.
I've been thinking about their mango margaritas.
I think it was a pink grapefruit margarita. We missed it until after Heather had ordered her Dark and Stormy. Which, by the way, it was a beautiful day, not dark and stormy at all, but that was good. And then last Sunday, or actually 2 Sundays ago, and I forgot to mention it last week, when I had my cold, and it was really bad, and I called out for the show, and I was lucky I was off from work because I had to call out from that. Heather went up to Sabai, Thai Cuisine there in Sims, just got me red curry with chicken, and that is the best thing I have ever eaten while sick. I felt so good after
You could taste it.
It's curry.
See, when I get a bad cold, I can't taste anything.
Opened up my head. It was broth based, so it gave me some nutrition. And it was Jean, thank you for nursing me back to health with Heather's help. I just wanted to mention that because I did miss it a couple of weeks ago. And I love having that place right around the corner.
Yeah.
I mean, Heather was gone 10 minutes.
Y'all got it going out there in Sims.
We're working on it. We got some things going. And, we got a restaurateur that's the new mayor.
Yeah.
And, I mean, first week he had a crisis. Leanne, I don't know if you kept up with this. The outgoing mayor and 2 or 3 of the city councilmen who had been voted out in Sims the last week decided to ignore what the city council had agreed on, which was a $3 million budget for a new city hall. And they signed a contract for one that was $6.5 million. The intent was to bankrupt the city.
Wow.
As one of the worst examples of sour grapes you've ever seen by political people.
Yeah.
And it's so bad, all of them should be in jail. And the former mayor, who's a teacher, should be in jail. But the Brandon Van Hook, the owner of the Hickory Pit 2, came in, had another meeting, and in a week, they had to vote it all down.
Got to go there.
But they were trying to slip it through, and I mean, it was just, it's pure evil.
Yeah.
And this is the first decent mayor we've had since we've been a city.
Well, you know, he's not the only restaurateur to become mayor.
Oh, really? Tell me more.
Robin, he's got one of them Cajun names. He's from Louisiana. But he owns Market by the Bay.
Oh, great.
Across the bay. And now he's the mayor of Daphne. So there's, you know, these restaurateurs, it's great that they're getting involved like this. but you hadn't finished telling us about Roosters.
Heather varied from her usual spicy chicken tacos. And I got the pork carnitas tortas. Tortas is a sandwich, although it loosely translates to cake. I don't know why they chose the word cake for sandwiches. I don't run the country down there. My gosh, it was so good.
Is that what they said? What's her name at Argentina says, let them eat cake? No, that was the Queen of England, wasn't it?
Oh, okay.
I don't know who said it. But
we just, it was just the best pre-Thanksgiving meal you could dream of there at Roosters. I'm glad they're back up. And Frankie has been very concerned and serious with his approach to COVID.
Yes.
And has shut the restaurant down several times. And he's open. There was a decent crowd there for the day before Thanksgiving. But it wasn't paying when it was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon too. They were pretty close to their whatever the capacity is. And it was just everything we needed to get ready for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And it was good seeing Frankie. I hadn't seen him I hadn't been there in a while because of all this COVID stuff. But it was good seeing Frankie. He made a chili that I almost got that was the special that day, a beef chili with jalapeno cornbread. And it was tempting, but a little too warm outside.
Yeah.
And I do love that tortas that he does.
We got the weather coming in this week.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank goodness. I got to wrap some sheets around some new plants tomorrow night.
Okay.
And it's going to be 32.
32. Well, I ate it at Lodi Beer Garden out in Westmobile the other night.
Did you know?
It was doggone good.
Well, that's a good place to go.
Yeah. Our buddy Matt, that's the first time I've been in there since he opened it. And they've changed that place around a lot.
I don't know that I ever went in there when Tony owned it. When it was laughing.
I did.
Hungry Owl.
It was a pretty cool place.
Yeah.
And But I think they may have downsized a little bit. But the food was our server. And here, we don't talk about servers enough. Our server was phenomenal. And they were shorthanded. Mm-hmm. They seemed to be shorthanded. And they were at half capacity. But, I mean, he was busting his butt for us. And the food was cooked perfectly. We got so much tater tots, I had hash browns for 2 days after. I guess if Matt hears that, he's going to go, cut back on the tater tots.
Yeah, Mike Bailey couldn't eat them all. You must have had enough for a family of 10.
Yeah, it was good. I was impressed. I really was. It's
Heather and I went out, I guess it was just before quarantine, and had the pretzel bites and some beers. And yeah, that was my first time being in it, too. It is a beautiful little spot. It is a lot less funky than downtown. Funky meaning cool, hip. It's a little more, what the clientele is
Western
out there.
Western Mobile-like. Yeah.
A bunch of stuffy rednecks with a little bit of money. I mean, I live out there, so I can say it. But,
I got to get to the barbecue place there in Sims.
Oh, Hickory Pit? Yeah, because you want those chick-a-ronis.
Chick-a-ronis?
Deep-fried chicken skin.
Oh, yeah.
With a little chunk of meat on. There's any number of sauces you can get. I go with the white gravy. Folks, when we come back, we're going to talk with Chase Matthews from Playhouse Spices, another great local ingredient that we're featuring during the holidays.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
I love the group War.
War? Had a chance to see them a number of times. But... Now, you're saying Gwar, G-W-A-R.
W-A-R.
Oh, okay. Because it... You don't look like a Gwar enthusiast.
No, but I used to be a War enthusiast.
Yeah. Well, the war is bad, y'all.
You younger people, that was who just got through playing was War.
Okay. I bet Leanna knows who Gwar is.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I've seen them myself.
You have not ever encountered Gwar, they are four aliens who, what is it, they were imprisoned on Earth. And for all of their heinous crimes across the universe, and they're forced to play rock and roll music as penance. And during the course of the show, they bring audience members up and throw them into a pit or decapitate them. It's all theater. They're not the greatest band in the world. Yeah, there you go. Leanna's got a picture.
Yeah, they don't sound...
Yeah. Not your
vibe.
They
don't sound like anything I'd listen to. Do they have a Christmas album?
I do believe they do, but... Nothing that we could play
and Leanna, I'm glad you're here this year for Christmas, because you will make sure that my favorite Christmas carol gets played on the last show before Christmas, which is Christmas with the Devil by Spinal Tap.
Yes.
Yeah, God. Absolutely.
I'll be off that day.
We play it I sneak it in every year. Just like for the longest time on Valentine's Day, we'd put in that song. I forget the group, maybe Paramore, but it's the chorus is... shoot my Cupid out of the sky, rip off his wings, and gouge out his eyes, because that's all that Valentine's means to me. But
all these romantic ballads.
Yeah, we need to spice things up at this place. You know, it's the holiday season. We don't just want salt and pepper on everything. And we've got somebody on the line that is the expert of other than salt and pepper. How you doing this morning, sir?
Doing good. How about y'all?
Just fine. Chase, man, y'all just keep churning out new spice blends, don't you?
Yeah. Something that we're a little bit passionate about.
And tell the folks that are listening what your company is.
So we're Playhouse Spices. We're a small batch, handcrafted, locally themed, and locally made spice blending company. Right now we have 12 blends all together. They cover both sides of the bay. So we didn't leave out the Eastern Shore or Mobile, so yeah, we just released our Battleship Fry Mix.
Ooh. Mike's eyes just lit up because you said fried.
So we just released that, and it's had a lot of positive feedback, and people really like. We added a little lemon juice powder to it.
Oh, nice.
So you get that nice hint of lemon at the end.
Without having to make your batter soggy.
Right.
Yeah. I like it. You know, I picked up a new spice ingredient. It's become very popular all over the country right now. And I found it at Winn-Dixie made by McCormick, and that's some black garlic. So I'm going to put – they had a black garlic powder and a black garlic salt. So I'm interested to play. Have you played much with any black garlic yet?
I have not. I've read a little bit on it, like how you can do it and different things like that, because some of it's fermented and some is more of a – I want to say they one recipe I read, they baked it and then aged it in the cooler. But I didn't see it was a correlation to the old recipe.
Right. It's just somebody trying to turn their garlic black, I guess.
Yeah, I think so.
without using a Sharpie on every little granule.
So it's not like a blackened garlic.
No. It is fermented. Yeah.
You said the word fermented.
The jar that I got, I think, said fermented 25 days.
Yeah, I've seen Ming use it on his show. Yeah. And I've seen one other show that's used the black garlic.
Yeah.
And
the reason I asked Chase about this is because everything I've looked at from Playhouse Spices, and we're going to get into the name in a minute because I just love the story behind that, Chase. There's something in that mix I've never heard of before I saw it on that bag.
Okay.
And just about everything. And I was looking at your website. Because there's a nice picture of you and your wife on there, and she talks about how lucky she was to meet someone who had the same quirky taste in spices that she did. So kind of explain what we're talking about with these spices that are not as common.
And who did she meet?
Chase.
So we really like to provide a flavor profile that well developed, but it's not the wash and repeat of your typical spice blends. Mm. And that was one of our big things is you go to the store and many of the spice blends would be, you know, lots of garlic, lots of salt, little bit of heat to it. And we always thought we could make it better. And that's what we started doing at our dinner parties. And we started making one or two spice blends and then we would theme the rest of our dishes after it. And then people were asking us, what was in that? And we were like, I don't know. I didn't really write it down. and then some friends encouraged us to, you know, y'all should, write these down and pursue it. And so we kind of started working on that. And then we would sit down and start talking about, what kind of flavors we thought would go with this area. And my wife is a great wordsmith. And she would write a little intro statement, and then we would build the spice blend off of that. And so, like, the Joe Kane Widowmaker is one of our most complex blends, and it's got an interesting pepper called a Cueb peppercorn.
Right.
Also known as, like, a Java peppercorn or a kale pepper. Really great little flavor to it. But we use Worcestershire ancho chili, and we built it as a Bloody Mary mix. But we have Spiffy Fox uses it on their barbecue pizzas and their burgers. So
you're getting you're getting into some of the restaurants now, it sounds like.
Yeah. We actually Spiffy Fox uses our Ono Island and our Joe Kane, and then 1031 Meals uses our Dolphin Island seasoning, I think, on 3 or 4 dishes now with Chef Ben over there.
Yeah, that is it's great because once you get them into it, people get introduced to it that may not have just looking at a shelf store or a store shelf or hearing a show like this or seeing it online. That's a great way to really expand everyone's knowledge of your product. And I alluded to the name before because my girlfriend loved the Joe Jefferson Playhouse growing up. Her grandmother was very active in it for the longest time, and I had a niece who was in the shows every year when she was a child. And I like that y'all tied all of this in. So just explain the name Playhouse Spices.
So the name Playhouse is because my wife and I we want people to play with their flavor and food. And she was actually in a cafe in Paris when she came up with the name. She was eating dinner and she had a idea and she asked the waiter for some paper and wrote it out and was like Playhouse. And there was this harlequin design she drew out. And we started to work off the name because we want people to, you know, play with flavor and also engage with people because we all connect through food.
Right.
I mean, that's like the biggest thing. So the play kind of is a take on not being so serious about, you know, food and flavor exactly, but to experiment and create, just like theater is experience, and we want food to be an experience too.
And I fully support that point of view. That has been one of the things that's driven my cooking style over the years. Was, you know, I try to incorporate my sense of humor into my food a lot of times, and Mike has experienced it with my PB&J burger and some things like that that I've done. If people want to get in on some Playhouse Spices, where can they go?
So, physical stores, you can go to 1031 Meals, Mosley's Meats in Mobile, Urban Emporium, Provision in Fairhope, and Foreland Market in Foley. But they can also see us today at Market at the Pillars from noon till 4 across from the Cannon at Houston and Government.
Oh,
and if
yeah.
they mention your show, I'll give them a free sample bag with a purchase.
Ooh. Say sip it chew, y'all.
I'm going to go incognito and get me some.
Chase has sent me a number of sample packets when they first kicked off, and I enjoyed cooking through all of them. It was, and I detailed it on Facebook whenever I would cook something new with it. And I just love your spices, and I've got to try some of the new ones. Y'all have a website, too, don't you, buddy?
Yes, we do. And for your fans and listeners, we have a coupon, Sip and Chew, all lowercase spelled out, $5 off of a purchase of $40 or more, good till December 20th.
There you go.
Now, listen, I happen to be a fan of key lime seasoning, and I used to buy it in the Keys every time I'd go down there with Boy Scout base when we'd go down scuba diving. But it was just a simple black pepper and key lime blend. Mm-hmm. Weird enough, it was made up north, but it was blended just for them down there. And it had more zest and zing to it than, you know, the black pepper and lemon. You got anything with any key lime in it?
Not key lime, but we do in our Dolphin Island seasoning. We use lime zest, orange zest, a little bit of cumin, kosher salt, chives, white pepper, a little garlic and cayenne. So you can push it to a little bit of like a coastal Caribbean flavor.
Oh.
And then our Fish River has lemon zest, green peppercorn, onion, dill, cayenne, ground bay leaf, paprika.
And what was the first one called? Dolphin Island?
Dolphin Island.
Okay. I'll have to try that.
I've cooked with the Dolphin Island before, and I really do like those hints of citrus that Chase is talking about are just terrific.
Yeah.
Give that a try.
Yeah. If you really like a little heat, I would push you towards the Ono Island, which has one of my favorite peppers. It's got ancho chili, urfa bieber, tangerine zest, garlic, cayenne, green peppercorn, and parsley. And the urfa bieber is a sun-dried smoked Turkish pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get notes of cherry and hickory smoke with a raisin sweet tobacco flavor. And it's great on any type of meat or seafood, just especially like a seared tuna steak or scallop.
Oh, okay.
That sounds wonderful.
Awesome. Well,
all right, buddy, we're up against the break. One more time, give your website and hope to see you soon.
Yeah, definitely. Our website's playhousespices.com, and we're on Facebook and Instagram and Pinterest.
Cool all beans, right. buddy. Thank you.
Thanks a lot,
Thank
buddy.
Thank y'all. Have a great day.
Yes, you too. Folks, we're going on break 3430106, and we're going to talk about some gift ideas for the holidays.
Yes.
Everything's doing fine down here in Lunch Lady Land.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Mike and Stu, that's us. We're Mike and Stu.
We're sipping Chew.
We're sipping Chew. We're sipping Mike and Stu. We're sipping Stu and Mike and Chew.
Well, you know, that's a good segue.
Yeah, segue. Wonderful segue.
You know, we're going to mention some gift ideas. And we're going to do this each Sunday up till Christmas.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing, if people really, really love their family and their friends, I think the best thing they could get is a dinner and wine presentation.
That sounds
by
fantastic.
By Sip and Chew.
Yeah, the Sip and Chew holiday experience.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, so it just give you an idea what what would look like. Mm-hmm. You invite 8, 10, 12, 13 and a half people, whatever. Mm-hmm. We come over, we make we've got a 5-course holiday menu set up. Mm-hmm. And of course, if there's something you want to tweak, we don't care. We'll do it. We're nice like that.
And it doesn't have to be during holiday. It could be you save it for Mardi Gras.
Yeah, yeah. But I have a menu I got set up for the holidays here.
Okay.
And Michael pair wines with it. First course, cheese and charcuterie board with mulled wine because it's the holidays.
It's the
time to mull a wine.
Yes.
And Mike mulls wines all the time. He's just mulling over them. Which one does he want? Yeah. Then
tear in my wine, though. Like, my beer.
Yeah. We'll do a salad course with a seasonal citrus salad, probably Satsumas, Clementine, something like that. Goat cheese and a pomegranate vinaigrette.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make it as complex as I can so that Mike's got to really struggle to come up with a good one.
Yeah.
Then we'll go soup course, Italian bread soup. Have you ever had it, Mike?
No.
It's tomato soup poured over bread.
Okay.
It's just one, but it would be a slow roasted tomato and basil.
I don't like
soup.
Tomato soup.
Yeah. And I'm thinking a super Tuscan with that, wouldn't you?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to go just the opposite, yeah.
Yeah. Main course, sage rubbed Cornish hens with a savory sausage and apple dressing.
When you say rubbed, is that like, do we rub?
It's called rubbed
like
sage.
A massage?
It is they take the dry leaves and they have some little dudes sit over there and rub them between his hands.
To open them up.
And it makes it like fine hairs. And it's a really nice texture. And then here's your dessert, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out what goes with eggnog panna cotta.
Well, let's see.
Yeah. So
it's going to be something hard.
So, you know, you can hit us up at Sip and Chew Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Sip and Chew. You can send us an email, sipandchew@mail.com. No freaking G.
No freaking G.
Yeah. And, or you can just go over to Mike's house, knock on the door if you want to. That address.
If you get through the gates.
Yeah.
If you get through the gates.
Oh, I forgot about the gates. The gate key is at, that's my first recommendation. I think I stole Mike's thunder there. I think he was going that way. So
got
a backup?
Something both of us.
Yeah, have you got a backup?
I do have a backup. Now look, everybody knows Marcus. He plays around town. Plays on Sunday mornings for Tony down at Bob's Downtown Diner on the corner, Fat and Happy.
Love that
peace,
place.
Love, and bacon grease.
Mm-hmm.
But his girlfriend, Deborah, sweet girl. She's got a company called, and she does holiday design cutting boards and wine bags and wine boxes and all kind of stuff. Towels, you know, kitchen towels and hand towels with all Christmas things on it. And her business is called Prince of Peace. That's Prince, P-R-I-N-T-S, where you print something.
Mm-hmm.
Prince of Peace Design. That's peace, like the peace sign, you know, or no war, peace, love and peace.
Visualize world peace.
Prince of Peace Designs, and it's on Facebook and Instagram. Or you can go to Le Bichon Wine Bar in Daphne, and everything that she carries is for sale there. The cutting boards that she's got are incredible. Mm-hmm. Now, they're that real hard glass, hard to break. You know, you're not going to break if you drop it. Maybe if you slam it, it will.
Yeah.
But not if you just drop it. But it's got wine bottles. It's got Christmas trees. Mm-hmm. It's got all kind of designs on this. She's got the wine boxes that you put bottles of wine in that you could even take a picture and slide it into the front of the box and of like of yourself or your cat or your dog and cat or or your fire burning wood pile or whatever you want to do. Anyway, you can do put any picture you want to on the front of it. It's really customized, and she can also do prints of any kind of custom print you want. And it's quick too. It's not weeks. You know,
right?
You don't have to sit there. Oh, well, I hope they hurry up and get through before Christmas gets here. So anyway, they got wine bags, wine wooden boxes. They even got just plain ones if you just want a plain box. The cutting boards, the wine bags, the kitchen towels, all this stuff is there on display. And you can purchase right there at Le Bouchon. Or like I said, you can go to her Facebook page or Instagram page. Prints of Peace Designs. And I think you'll be impressed. I was impressed, and I don't impress easily.
Yeah, that's true. and we got a message on Facebook from your friend Chuck at Satori's. And he wants to know, can you recommend special red or rosé wines for Christmas gifts this year? You got anything or
French
you want
rosé.
To do a
French rosé and the holiday season, you know, we tend to use, wouldn't you agree, we use more seasoning and spices during the holiday season?
I try to.
Yeah, I do too. So you can either go, less bland, not bland, not saying that Pinot Noir is bland or Syrah, but something with less spice and kick to it, or you can go complete opposite and go with Shiraz. It's going to be a little peppery.
We'll say subtle on the first one.
Subtle, yeah, subtle. I like that.
Right.
But, yeah, anything red blend, California red blends. Merlot's out of Washington State are on fire right now. They're they're making incredible Merlot out of Washington State. And and you know, not to say California's not doing good. Everything I'm having out of Washington State is phenomenal.
Right.
They do it more Bordeaux style, more Bordeaux-ish. And
And he had another part of the question that I will address. He also wants to know our take on any lesser known pizza or Italian places in the area. And pizza Sims House of Pizza. Guess where it is? It's in Sims.
In Sims.
Yeah, it's on Snow Road near Mary Montgomery
Sims
High School.
Sims is on fire.
Yeah, and another place is not too far from Satori. It's at Codian Airport, and that's Roma Cafe. Ian Wellerman was the chef for a long time. He's now the owner. Planning on having him in on January to talk about some of the changes since he's taken over. But I have always enjoyed Roma, and probably the best Philly cheesesteak you're going to get in my life.
I had a few years ago. Me and Brandon had a phenomenal meal at Roma.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's your recommendations. And you know, I want to do something next year, Mike. I want to do a fundraiser for something, and I want to get together with six other chefs, and I want to do an Italian Christmas tradition that is called the Feast of the Seven Fishes. It is a seven-course meal with seafood in each course.
Ah, seven and, different fishes?
Yeah. Well, just I think you can use crab or scrimps for some of it. I don't know. I'm not Italian, so I don't know the rules.
We'll have to talk to some Italians.
Yeah.
See what they hit there.
I actually, one of the people I'd love to get down here for this is John Gibson, who is at the Wheelhouse up in Op, Alabama. He's a good friend of both of ours. He's been in the Mobile area before cooking in a number of places. He graduated culinary school and then went and hung out in Italy for about 6 years.
Oh, yes, that's right. I forget.
And remember, we went to a wonderful wine pairing dinner he did that, Leanna, it was impressive because it was an Italian five-course dinner. Only one thing had tomato in it.
I hadn't had
just one?
Yep.
Wow. I haven't had
because,
the...
Because, remember, they didn't have tomatoes in Italy. They weren't eating them until the 1700s. Yeah. But we got to go, don't we?
I haven't had the opportunity to get up to Op.
Hello. All right, folks, get out there.
Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu.
That's it.
Wants to say Merry Christmas, folks, every week in between now and then. Support local, be local, buy local.
Tip.
And tip.
Over provolone.
And provolone, yes.
Does a new building with a wind rating of 175 miles per hour appeal to you? That certainly is within our capability. This is Scott Armstrong with Kemco Metal Buildings. For almost 50 years, Kemco has been designing and constructing the highest quality steel buildings for our customers. Whether you need a building for commercial, industrial, agricultural, storage, church, or community use, or if you just want a Kemco building for yourself, please contact us. Kemco will use state-of-the-art software and our many years of experience to help you custom design a metal building that best suits your needs. Check out our website at KemcoBuildings.com or stop by our 40,000 square foot facility on Pollard Road in Daphne. We're big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to give you homegrown service. That is KEMKO 251-626-0594. Our goal is to exceed your expectations.
Turning up your voice. FM Talk 106.5, WAVH-FM, Daphne Mobile.